at the moment, you can imagine the government's response to this would be, well, some fringe group out in the backwoods of New South Wales are saying that they're going to claim sovereignty over their country. How are they going to go about this? And as a government, do we have to respond?
I think the Australian government will be forced by circumstance, because I know that the Murawari Republic are presently forming a delegation, and they just had a meeting of about 200, 300 people out there in the last weekend of their people, and they're the ones for what they call the diaspora. That is those who are Murawari citizens who live outside, like, you know, live in Dubbo or live in Sydney or live in Brisbane or something. Well, they're the diaspora. So these people here have come in to ask about, you know, what are our rights. They just explained to them, you're a citizen, you have every right in the world to cast a vote and do things and be represented, your opinion. You're not cast aside simply because you live somewhere else. You are part of us, and all they do is go back and conclude their enrolment as a citizen within their own tribal nation. And, of course, the Australian government are sort of in a precarious situation now, because this is not going to go away. In fact, it's going to grow. And I know that there's a declaration being signed this weekend in central New South Wales, by the Ngimpa people. They're about to do that as well. So this is the second nation state who will have its independence declared next week, and once they sign that, copies of that will go off to the United Nations just as other ones have.
From a legal position, what is the reality of this in law?
It's very real. All the international law is permitted, and in fact, as I said earlier, the United Nations has two resolutions on the book that calls upon and makes it incumbent, places an incumbency on the fact that the dominant state has to assist and desist from force of arms, from not allowing them to do it. And of course, we only have to look at the decision in Mabo. If you have a look at Mabo, then Mabo recognises that our connection to country, land, water and airspace is continuing despite British sovereignty. And there have been several court cases in Canada, in the Supreme Court case in Canada, which recognises usufructuary rights of Aboriginal people under their law and custom on their land. Now, usufructuary rights includes all those native things that's part of the natural biodiversity, and they're ours, and we have connection through totemism to these things, and we have stories that connect us to minerals, gases and oil. There are big stories about these things, underground water. And the water itself. We have stories about spirits in those things. Now, if you do a clear examination of Mabo, then those rights in those things are in fact recognised. So irrespective of the title, whether you've got freehold title, fee simple or Torrens title, or whatever they want to call the type of title, perpetual pastoral leases, the fact is that Aboriginal customs and tradition connects us to the trees, plants, koannas, kangaroos, emus and all those things. And so when you destroy an ecosystem on that land that you have title to, you're destroying an ecosystem that you don't have, because under the laws of the state, they are separate laws that separate the trees, the kangaroos, the emus and the natural biodiversity from the owner who has a deed and title on that land.
Michael, you know firsthand the Australian government doesn't take kindly to black trying to make a stand about sovereignty. I mean, you've been there and done it 40 years ago. I mean, what has changed now that is going to make this any different?
We did it 40 years ago, we didn't have land rights, and we didn't achieve a court decision like Mabo. So we stood our grounds and we said, this is what we're going to do, and this is the way we're going to do it. But we told them up front that this is what was happening. We won the land rights case, and they now have to deal with it. So that's a legacy of the Aboriginal Embassy. But there was another sign there which said sovereignty never ceded. And now it's taken us 40 years to get to the point where we understand sovereignty, where we understand our legal position and we understand all the laws around the country and within the United Nations is going to support that. I'm just coming from a meeting over the weekend on the question of sovereignty and treaty in Brisbane. There are between 80 and 100 people from different nations who turned up, and now they're asking for a kit on how you go about doing and making declaration of independences. We're formulating a manifesto together with a kit that will allow people to look at it. But we're saying, don't just do it just quickly. You've got to read all this stuff. You've got to understand what it's about. You've got to get people there to workshop it with you and then do it, only after you know what you're doing.
Michael Giller-Anderson, thanks for joining us.